Lord, we give you thanks for your blessings, which are new every morning. We give you thanks for this opportunity to come into this time where we can hear from you. Lord, you've already spoken. You've already told us that if we take it to you in prayer, that all we have to do is leave it at the altar. And that you would lift our burdens. And then, oh God, you spoke to us and you told us that you would give us blessing after blessing. And all we have to do is open our eyes and look for it. We have it in our families. We can see it in a new day. And we give you thanks for it. And oh God, we ask that you would lift us now in your holy word. Allow your name to be glorified. And in all things we pray through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Ryan, just play, thank you, Lord. Know that the Lord has made a way. And what do you say? I just want to say, thank you, Lord. Our scripture lesson comes from Deuteronomy 30. You can keep playing that, Ryan. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 20. Listen to Moses' sermon to us. And to the people of God, he says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in the heavens so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. 13 says, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask. Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And then he says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and life. and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now choose life. I want to talk to you about that a few moments. I choose blessings. I choose blessings. Thank you, VOP. Thank you, Ryan, and to our guest musicians. I choose life. I choose blessings. The title of my sermon. I want to ask you a question this morning. As I'm sure you're very much aware, is my custom. What is your favorite book or thing to read? What is your favorite show to watch or to binge? What movie captures your attention? Can you describe in one word what makes you love that book, that show, or that movie? In one word. Whatever it is that you like to read, watch, or watch, can you describe it in one word what makes you really like that particular thing? The word that describes books, shows, and movies that pique my interest is suspense. I like trying to figure out in what goes next, you know, what comes and goes next, what the plot is going to be. A good movie to me is one where you don't know what the plot or where the plot is going, you know. You have to really kind of think about the details and what the person or the character is saying. Listen, I love watching movies. I cannot stand. I really dislike when I can figure out the next scene before it even comes. It's not necessarily that, you know, I want it to be kind of chaotic and all that, that it doesn't match up. I just don't want it to be stereotypical. I don't like plots that are the same. You know, those horror movies where you know the person is going to run into a certain location, they're going to get caught, and you know that they're going to get caught. Like, why didn't you take off running? That didn't make any sense to me. Or a good love story, but I don't want to see the love story where you know that the two people that really like each other eventually are going to be the ones that end up together, even though they kind of run from each other the whole movie. That's kind of simple. I want something that piques my interest. I want something that kind of gets me to the edge of my chair. Something that causes suspense. It could be a thriller. It could be a horror movie. It could be a love story. I really don't have a favorite genre, just as long as it has a little suspense to it. And what if I told you that our text does none of that? In fact, I can't even hide what the writer is feeling. Moses leaves no suspense, no hanging question, no lingering thought. Instead, he orders the listener, the viewer, to choose blessings. You heard the passage in verse 19. He says, listen, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. No suspense. You don't have to wonder about it. Ryan, you don't got to figure out what Moses is trying to get to you. There is no little synoptic message that is hidden inside and between the lines. It's very clear. Everybody say it with me, no matter where you are, type it in the chat box. Now choose life. The stage is set. The cast is you and me. There are no guest stars, no surprise appearances, no special effects. It is you and me. Maybe there is room for little suspense, right? But in reality, you know what is expected of you as Christians, as children of God. We know what the choice must be. The suspense, if there is any, comes from your own personality. It comes from your own ambition, your own track record. It's a would you rather type of question. A would you rather type of game of suspense. Would you rather blessings or would you rather curses? Our passage really begins in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. You kind of know the story. Moses has just been denied entering into the promised land because of his disobedience. God says to him, look at the land to the west, north, south, and east. And the land that you see, and I think is wrong. I think God does Moses pretty dirty because he takes up upon a mountain. He tells him to look out over the land. Matter of fact, he tells him to do a little 360, and he says, everything that you've just seen, you can't possess it. That's wrong. That's like putting a piece of cake in front of a child and then telling the child not to eat it. But because Moses has disobeyed God, because Moses took upon himself to do something that God told him not to do, even though Moses thought it was in the best interest of the people. There's a lesson right there. Let me pause and say that just because you think that something is going to be okay with God, or because you think people need something, just because you find something that may look good, doesn't necessarily make it good for you. It doesn't mean that God didn't want to help the people. Y'all know the story. What happened? The people needed something to drink, and they kept begging God for something to drink, and Moses kept petitioning God for something to drink, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses did what? He hit the rock. He just hit it. And water started gushing out. The people got water, and God told Moses, well, I didn't tell you to hit the rock. I told you to speak to it. And for that, Moses, you won't be able to possess the land. And so Moses looks over. He's able to see it, but he'll never be able to get into it. He's able to see the blessing, but he's never going to be able to obtain it because he disobeyed. Listen, there are things in your life that you want. You can see it as tangible. You see it on social media. You see your friends have it. You say to yourself, if they got it, I can get it. But the way we get things is not by seeking or having our own ambition. It's by following God, waiting for God, being patient with God and in God's own time. And when we choose to take on liberty to do it ourselves, God says you'll never be able to obtain it. And so Moses disobeys and God says, look around you. Y'all know that little commercial? I think it's an insurance commercial, but I can't remember. That little commercial with a man with the fishing pole and he says, you almost get it. You almost got it. Well, Moses can't get it. And then the land you see, you won't be able to inherit it. But then when we fast forward to this part of our text, he promises, he fulfills to Moses this covenant. this promise to him. He says, even though you won't be able to possess the land, even though you won't be able to obtain what it is that I have set before you, your children and your children's children will be able to inherit the life that I've promised you. And so Moses says to the people, even though he cannot get there, listen, just because you can't get it don't necessarily mean that your children can't get it. And he says to his people, Moses preaches this sermon in our text today, now choose life. And so that's where we end up. It's a lesson to our youth and to all of us that it's God's way or no way at all. And so our part in the play is set. The stage is set. No suspense, no thriller, unless you let your own ambition get in the way. And God says, what will you choose? Life or death? In verses 11 through 14, it's kind of broken up. 11 through 14, then 15 through 18, and then 19 and 20. In verses 14, 11 through 14, there's one message that we should take away from that, or at least our first message. And that message is, quit searching and start choosing. Quit searching and start choosing. Notice the condition and location of the blessing. I hope that you still have your Bibles open. The condition of the blessing in verse 11 reads, it is not too difficult. And then the location of the blessing is in your reach. Notice it again. Quit searching and start choosing, because the blessing that you are searching for is in your reach and it's not too difficult to attain. The blessing that you are trying to find, that thing that you want most in life, and that thing which is life, is right before you. Quit searching and start choosing. Listen to what he says in verses 11 through 14. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in the heaven so that you may have to ask you, or who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. What are you looking for? When you pray to God, what exactly are you searching for? Is it a job? Is it money? Is it a promotion? Is it a college, a degree? Is it a relationship? Well, listen. When Moses found himself cursed, not being able to get into the land, God says, remember my covenant and tell the people that they will still be able to obtain it. I've got good news for you today. We are not Moses. And the land that God has promised to our ancestors, the land that God promised to the Israelites, the things that we desire most, God says, it's in our reach. You can quit searching. Today you find the answer that you have been looking for. All you have to do is choose the blessing. In verse 15 through 18, we find out what the two choices are that we get to choose from. And it is that we have two choices. It's not a multitude of choices. We don't have to go sorting through what it is that God has in store for us. It's life or death. Life or death. The options that the people are given is a life of blessings or a life of curses. Blessings or curses. The curse represents death. And blessings represent life. And we see this clearly in the passage. But where does it come from? Where does this originate? And I'm so glad that you want to know. I would have started with one of the earlier covenants, one of the Noahic covenant or the Mosaic covenant, both representing times where God told the people to choose life or death. With Noah, it was to stay and drown or get in the boat and live. With Moses, it was following the commandments and inherit the promised land or disobey and turn from God and die wandering in the wilderness. But it was more simple than that. We can go back to the beginning where God tells Adam and Eve, you can live in peace and bliss, or you can do what? Eat from the forbidden fruit and die. The choice seems so clear. Who would not live in peace with God? God says, eat of the forbidden fruit and you will surely die. And my question is, who would choose curses over blessings? The answer seems so clear. You either have death or you have life. And then it occurred to me that we have a false pretense of what life will be. We think it's you live and you die. You wake up one morning and one morning you won't. But life is so much more than that. Life represents resurrection. Life represents this encounter with God that is more abundant than anything you can ever ask for. Life. When you choose life, you choose a resurrection of things lost. And that is what has happened to the people. That's what happens in the text, is that these people who were once cursed are now choosing life. And God says, if you stay obedient to me, all the things that you wish to obtain in life, you will have. All you have to do is choose me. Listen, you're looking for that job. You're looking for that relationship. You're looking for a deeper encounter with God. You're trying to find out what it is about, what it is that God wants in your purpose in life. You want to seek to have a deeper relationship with him, spend more time with him. And he says, all you have to do is set aside everything else and choose me first. And so what happens is that something gets in the way. And so I want to take you to court for a moment. I had a little sidebar with God about the conversation. And I asked him, I said, why is it that we struggle with such an easy decision? All the evidence points to your faithfulness. So why is it that we choose oftentimes to go in a different direction than what you have commanded to us? And in this sidebar conversation that I was having with God, he said to me that what makes us fools when it comes to choosing between the two options of blessings or curses, life or death, is that we, well, I'm not going to tell you. That's where my sermon ends for this Sunday. And so next month I'll finish up and I'll tell you what it is that God, I'm kidding. No. What it is that God says is that it's our arrogance. You see, the reason why we choose death often than blessings, or life or death over life, is because we have arrogance that gets in the way of our relationship with God. We believe that we know better than God. Then he shows me our track record of foolishness. That's my wife's word, foolishness. She asked me, you know, well, you're doing all that foolishness anyway. And he shows us in his word about our foolishness. You remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God tells Adam not to bite the fruit, but yet Adam, because his wife gives it to him, decides to take of the fruit, and so does Eve, and now they are cursed, and the curse represents in that passage death. And that's where it originates. And then there's another track record of this foolishness. The Tower of Babel, when the people decide to build this tower to reach into the heavens just to make a name for themselves because of their what? Their arrogance. Then we have Sodom and Gomorrah, not just within the inference of homosexuality, but Lot in that passage also offering his daughters to be raped. And the Israelites in Exodus, after God had delivered them from Egypt, wanted to turn around and go back because the water was before them. And they said, we would rather perish where we were, or at least we would rather stay under the whip of Pharaoh than die at the sea. It was arrogance. It was foolishness. And then when the Israelites built the golden calf and worship false idols, the track record of our arrogance, because we think we know better than God. And I have a question for you in your own life. When it's hard for you to choose, you know, death, or excuse me, life over death, what is it that makes you so arrogant? What is it that makes you think you know better than God? Is it your degree? Is it your experience? Is it that I know and so I have to step in and do the job that God can do or will do? Maybe God is not moving fast enough in your life, so you get into a relationship that was never meant for you. You get into habits that you cannot break because you've decided in your own arrogance to choose the curse. And he says, the reason why people make it harder than it should be is because they think they know better than me. But he clears it up. Out of those two choices, he makes it even more clear and less suspenseful. He says, choose life. Choose blessings. Again, they're hand in hand. Curse means death, starting with Adam and Eve when they bit the fruit. And then whenever they changed it all around and they decided to get on good standing with God and they decided to then start choosing blessings, it was that they were choosing life. And in verse 19, he says, let there be no mistake. He tells us God wants you to choose life. Choose life. Choose blessings. He imparts it with them, the same witnesses that hold them accountable in chapter 4. Y'all see that? In chapter 19, he repeats, because in chapter 4, he says, listen, I call to attention these witnesses in heaven and on earth to see that you are cursed. But then when we get to chapter 30, he tells us those same witnesses are going to be the witnesses to see we have chosen life. That is, the world will see when we've chosen life. Your family will see when you've chosen life. Your friends will see when you've chosen life. Let all be witnesses to this life that you choose. That is, let all the world see glory. Let all the world see God's majesty in the way that you choose to follow Him. And when you choose life, when you choose God, when you choose blessings, then you will find restoration, you'll find peace, you'll find happiness, you'll find security. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. It doesn't necessarily have to be that job, because that job was going to hold you down anyway. It doesn't have to be that relationship. Those people were going to hold you back anyway. All you have to do is choose to live the life that God has called you to be. So wherever you are, wherever you may be, today bow down on your knees and just say to God, I choose life. I choose to follow you. I choose to submit myself before you. And listen, life and obedience go hand in hand. That isn't that you just follow God and it's miserable. It's not that God is just a master and he has a whip telling you which way to go. No, when you choose life and you choose God, you know that following God means that all is well. When you wake up in the morning, you don't have anything to worry about because you've chosen God, so you know God is going to order your footsteps. Whenever you've chosen life and you get to the doctor and the doctor have said, I've done all that I can do. You've chosen life. And so God says, don't worry about the doctor. I can heal your body. When you've chosen life and you've chosen to live for Him, you don't have to worry about your job. You don't have to worry about money. You don't have to worry about school, because God has it already in store for you. This morning, I want you to choose life. Moses tells us to choose life. And wherever you may be, the answer is simple. The message is clear. All you have to do is choose between the two. I pray for you this morning. I pray that in your choice, in your decision, you find peace, you find rest, you find happiness, because it all belongs to God anyway. May God bless you and may God keep you. Receive now our invitation to discipleship.
Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave His life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.